Hello and welcome back to What Do You Know For Sure podcast with me, Anne Hughes. In this episode, I am talking about other people's opinions and whether or not they matter with comedian Kirsty Lynch. What a great, refreshing, honest conversation. Just as we were logging off of having our call and chatting to each other, I said to her, we had such an honest conversation. There's too many women that don't know other folk that have such honest conversations, so they need to hear this, and I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast with me. Enjoy this one, because it's really good. Kirsty, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what you're going to be telling me, but first, tell us a bit about you.
So my name is Kirsty Lynch. I am 43 recently. I've got a daughter who's 13, a teenager turning into, which is interesting stage that we're entering into. I kind of dabble in stand-up comedy quite recently, something I've started. My kind of professional background is in HR, talent and learning and development. So yeah, that's me.
Great. And you were introduced obviously by one of my cousin's wives, so that was good, Lynn. Thank you for introducing us. And I'm looking forward to knowing, because she thought it would be a great episode. Tell me, Kirsty, what do you know for sure?
What I know for sure is that nobody's opinion matters.
Yes. How do you know that?
I think I'll be honest, it's not something I've known forever. It's almost, I feel, became quite an epiphany over the kind of past year for me. And I think the reason that I know it is that I have really pushed myself to try things that I've always wanted to do, but have stopped myself from doing because of the fear of other people's perception, what are other people going to think? And I've just, if I'm honest, there's always been, almost been this moment of, fuck it, I don't give a shit what other people think. I'm going to try it and see how I got on. And do you know what? I'm doing it, I'm rocking it, I'm enjoying it. So yeah, that I think there was a big epiphany for me probably over the last 12 months where, for the first time ever, I thought, I don't care what other people think. I want to try this and see how it goes. And do you know what? I'm just quite regretful that I didn't have that a lot sooner.
Yeah, and you know, I really resonate with that. And the whole idea of living your life to keep other people quiet or other people's perceptions of you. I mean, you never know what their perceptions are going to be anyway. So, you know, you might have had somebody that thought, she should be a comedian. I don't know why she's not done it. But it's really about looking yourself in the mirror and saying, I did life and I did it right. That's a big driver for me. I want to get to the last day of my life and feel as if, I did that quite well. I'm quite pleased with how that went. Do you know that way? Yeah. Does that resonate with you?
Definitely. And it's one of the things that kind of pushed me, because probably kind of after having a 15-year career in kind of HR and talent in the media industry, that kind of came to a bit of an abrupt end probably about April, May last year. And for me, it was one of the things that I always used to say to people, don't have any regrets. Do you know what I mean? Like, be on your kind of deathbed, nobody actually turned around and said, I wish I never done that. Most people will turn around and say they wish they had done something. So I used to kind of encourage people to try new things and, you know, test themselves and push their own boundaries. And I think for me, when that kind of career came to a bit of an end, it was like, have I been true to myself? You know, have I really kind of, as I say it, kind of done what I say on the tin? You know what I mean? I encourage other people. I make people feel that they're in a safe environment to try new things. That's the nature of the job that I do. But was I really pushing myself? And I didn't, it was like when I thought about my bucket list, doing stand-up comedy was something that I wanted to do for years from about the age of 18. But I'd always, there was always something stopping me. And it was like, oh, well, I work in HR, you know, professionally, how's that going to be viewed? You know, if I'm up on stage talking about my private parts one night and then try to discipline somebody that, oh, I can't do that, you know, professionally, it's not going to look good. So for me, that was really a kind of moment where I had to look at what do I stand for? What am I about? Who am I? And I think I've thrown myself so much into my career that it was so much, like, so much of who I was and my identity. And it really, in that time, that 15 years, I'd become a wife, I'd become a mum. And it was this moment of, God, who am I? What's important to me? What are my values? So, yeah, I think for me, that really resonates with me, because for me, that was a big driver of, I don't want to be in my deathbed and go, I wish I'd done that.
Aye. And, you know, I resonate with it. When I was, oh, gosh, I must have been in my mid-30s, I got made redundant as well. And I had loved the job I had, and I'd had it for 13 years, right? And I actually, my crisis at that time, so we're talking like 10, 12 years ago, my crisis at that time is, what do I tell people about myself if I don't tell them that's what I do?
Yeah.
Right? And I sort of went through a rather interesting time, as we do when we have big life things like that happening. And out the other side of that, I was like, my job and my work will never be the first thing I tell anybody about me ever, ever again. I'll tell them something else about me. So I think it's probably what you're speaking to is something that loads of women can resonate with, because we probably have all been in that place where the first thing you tell people about yourself is the roles you play, not the person you are. So do you feel like, although getting, you know, made redundant and losing a job and something you've done for a long time can be have lots of consequences in your life, obviously, are you sort of a glad it happened because you've got to come to this place?
Do you know, definitely. I know at the time I was kind of devastated about it, and it was like, oh God, how am I going to cope with this? But I think for me, when I look back at the time, because I didn't kind of really spend a bit of time thinking about what's important to me, who am I, what am I, what do I stand for, you know, and it was tough for a few, it was tough for a bit. Like, I've had the mum guilt. I've thrown myself into my career. I mean, for at the peak of my career, I was, like, before the pandemic, I was, like, 4 days a week in London. The justification to me was, I'm at the top of my game. I'm earning, like, we can go on nice holidays and we can do these kind of things. But you were overcompensating because you felt the guilt of not being there. So I am really actually happy that it happened, because it's made me get back in touch with who I am and what's important. For a long for a few years I probably felt that I had a number of roles, but I didn't feel I was doing any of them particularly well.
Again, I think that's one we're all going to be nodding at, because I often feel when I've got too much on my plate that I'm doing a really mediocre job of everything. So that leads you to the overwhelm, to the guilt, to the I'm rubbish at everything, as opposed to when I can just focus on a couple of things and actually be really good at them.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it was really good, because there's time that I've had over last summer spending time with my daughter before she gets to that age where she doesn't want to hang about with her mum, right? So although I went back after 5 months of maternity leave, because again, it was quite competitive. I was worried that I'd been out the game too long. So there was that whole, I can't be out, you know, somebody else is going to step into my shoes. I need to get back. So I put myself under pressure, and it's the biggest regret I ever had. So for me, being able to spend that whole summer with Emma, you know, and go to the gym and go swimming and do all these kind of things. The other thing as well is that we're working away so much, you feel quite disconnected from your family. And my mum always said to me, she says, Kirsty, I know when you're stressed, she said, because you go quiet. She said, like, we don't hear for you, she said, and that's been happening too much lately. So my mum was quite clear to me that this was going to be the best thing that ever happened to me, she says, because you're burnt out, you know, you are trying and pushing yourself too hard, and you're giving that organisation everything, you're giving everything that you can, she says, and there's nothing left in the tank for you, she says, so I want you to take this time. And I'm like, aye, very good, you know. But actually, she was completely right, you know, it just shows you your mum knows better than you do sometimes. But for me, like, being able to connect, spend time with my gran, who is 88, that's in a nursing home, that absolutely loves it. She's got a better social life than me. But, like, you know, connecting with her, I've got two amazing nephews. One's 4 and one was born last January. For so long, I was the auntie on the peripheral. Mm-hmm. Like, I was the auntie on the outside that kind of turned up at birthdays and things like that, because, again, weekends were trying to overcompensate being a wife and being a mum. And, like, during that time, when Emma went back to school, or, like, when Emma was off, taking my nephew swimming, to the point that he recognises my car in the car park and tells my mum, you need to follow that car, that's Auntie Kirsty's car, to, like, we have a bit of a joke with my other nephew who's just turned one, where I walk in the house and my sister-in-law's like, oh, here's your favourite. Now, that would never have happened, do you know what I mean, if I never had that time. And it's made me also, with regards to the roles that I'm kind of taking on a role recently that I've started about 2-3 weeks ago, and it's a third sector role. It's about making a difference and adding value. And to me, it's not the top job. It's an interim role. I'm doing mat cover. It's no massively well paid, but it's rewarding. It's making a difference. And it's me feeling, do you know what? That's the kind of thing that I want to do, rather than what I've fallen into, I think. So yeah, I think it's the best thing that has happened to me, because I would have never made that decision myself. I would never have walked away.
Are you glad it happened in your 40s and not in your 60s?
I'm glad it happened in my 40s. Yes, definitely, because there's time. Do you know what I mean? Know that there's no time when you're 60. Like, come on. My mum's 60 and my God, she's rocking it. Do you know what I mean? But for me, yes, I'm glad it happened now, because when I reflect back, my husband used to say to me, it's you that's putting yourself under this pressure. Or my mum would be like, you know, I'm really worried about you, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I think if it didn't happen at this point, I think the consequences would have been a hell of a lot worse. It wouldn't have been, I just didn't do things that I wanted to do. I think there could have been major kind of potential consequences with regards to illness, relationships.
Do you know, it's the real feeling that runs through this podcast, and it's so interesting. I think I've probably said this in the last few podcasts as well. There was never something I wondered at the start, is there just going to be the same things? We all know for sure, and there's not. But what there is that feeling. And, you know, you're just verbalising it really well and packaging it up that, God, can you imagine if I had known this earlier?
Yeah.
And I think probably, if we're all dead honest with ourselves, we did know it earlier. We just didn't listen to ourselves. So I know you're talking about how nobody else's opinion matters. Do you feel that, like, we could say that another way, is almost my opinion matters most? And I need to listen to that. I mean, do you feel as if you are tapped into your own inner wisdom, I would call it? But are you tapped into what you actually want? Or have you been ignoring that a lot in the past?
I think I've ignored it a lot in the past, because there's been many situations, too many than you would want to go into, but there's been many situations over the years where I've felt, whether it be in friendships, whether it be professionally, whether it be just that I'm like, I'm no all right with this, right? This isn't right. I'm not comfy with this. But because there's maybe a stronger voice, maybe because there's a stronger personality, maybe because there's, if you voice and don't go along with the hassle that it brings, is it worth it? No, I'll just keep my mouth shut. And there was, you know, there's been a couple of things over the past few years where I reached breaking point on a few things, and that kind of inner voice came out in a way that I'm probably not massively proud of, but it came out, and it was like, it's almost like years and years of, I'll just, for the greater good, I'll keep quiet, or is it really worth rocking the boat, or do I really want to kind of risk that friendship because it's been there for so many years without, and I think there just became a point where I'm like, it's no, I know in myself that I'm no enjoying it, this isn't right, and actually it's time to just turn around and go, no, enough's enough.
I think, you know, it's interesting because that whole notion of what comes out, and I think, you know, you cut an orange, what you get, orange juice. So if you cut a person who's been ignoring themselves, who's been, you know, feeling repressed in any way, who's feeling no listened to, who's feeling put upon or whatever, then the rage is always going to find a way out, isn't it? Are the things you're frustrated by are always going to find a way out?
I definitely, but I think I have no, like, think about that. It's the rage is coming out, but the rage is, for me, when I look back, that's not anybody else's fault, problem, anything like that. That's the person that I should be most and am most frustrated with is myself.
I know, I get that. And I think it's all that self-reflection, isn't it? You know, there's a great story, that the death of Ivan Illich, it's called, and he gets to the end of his life, right? And he's lying there with a wife he doesn't love, and it's set like hundreds of years ago, written hundreds of years ago, potentially, actually. And he says to his wife, what if I did it all wrong? What if I did my whole life wrong? And I read that years ago, and I remember thinking, that can never be me. I can never be at the end of my life. And he dies not long after that. And I can never be at the end of my life thinking, what if I got it wrong? And I think even, like, you know, you're saying you've got your daughter, and I've got two teenagers that are a bit older than you, two daughters. And I think that's something I really try to impress upon them. Be yourself with the people you meet, because if you know yourself, you're going to turn around at 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 and think, who am I? Because I've been pretending for years. And I don't even like myself anymore.
I totally. And that's the thing, you know, it's even stupid things like, if you come to see my comedy, one of my lines is that I reckon, do you know what? I'm a larger lady, and that's that, right? And when you look back at pictures, right, I've got quite a sporty physique, right? Mm-hmm. And even though, like, it's like when I tell folk my weight, they're like, oh, God, no. And I'm like, no, that is the weight, because I think I hold it a bit better, you know, my weight. But I look back at pictures, because you judge yourself on the folk that were around you, right?
So harshly.
And I was never going to be that. But see now, right, when I look back at the pictures, I'm like, fuck, I wish I was, like, kinder to myself, because, my God, I looked bloody good.
Right? I feel as if I was just talking about this with somebody recently, because exactly, I look at pictures of myself at 17 and 18 and I thought I was fat. Look at me.
Right, fuck it. No idea, like that. No idea what the meaning is. And the other thing as well is I'm early menopause, right? So that adds a whole different dimension, which is, like, I say I'm still trying to lose the baby weight for Emma. She's 13, right? And now I've got old age fucking weight gain through the menopause, right? Because my shape, like, at least when I was big, I had shape. And for a while there, it was just like, oh my God, I'm like a barrel. And I always remember my wee granny being like that, and I'm like, bloody, I'm that's me. But see, when you look back at pictures of yourself and you think, fucking hell, I looked good. I wasn't fat. I was a good-looking, like, well, I was. I was pretty. Do you know what I mean? And I look at my daughter and I start to see her, because she's going through that whole, my body's changing.
Yeah.
My body, her body, because she's on the same path as me, is changing significantly quicker than a lot of her wee pals around her. You know, so she's developing. And I'm like, you are you, right? You are beautiful. You've got an amazing personality. You're a caring individual. You know, like, do not start going down that path of, like, oh, I'm too fat, or I'm this, or I'm that. And don't start thinking you need to fit into a particular bracket, because you are you. You are unique, right? And that, for me, is where I just don't want her having the more, like, and I always say to people, I'll share my experience, because I've made plenty of mistakes, right, whether it be professionally. And I'll share it, because, like, learn from my mistakes, don't have to make them. And that's where I'm trying to get with her, where I'm like, do not start going down that road. Like, it's taken me to this age to go, like, we were on holiday in Tenerife at Christmas, and my two pals are very different shapes and sizes for me. And I'm like, I'm wearing a bikini, I'm wearing this, I'm wearing that, right? And for so many years, I've kind of hidden away, and I'm like, no. And, like, I was coming down, and they're like, oh, my God, love that, love that, love that, rocking it. And it was just, like, I was just more confident in me. And I was like, I really don't, care. You know, feel good, fucking it.
I'm at the stage where I've decided now, because I'm nearly 48, that I need to either pick between my face or my ass, and I don't want a baggy face. Right? So I am not losing another pound in weight. But also I think it's dead interesting, because all women can, even a woman that's a size 10 can probably feel like that. And my 15-year-old was saying to me recently about how a hungry population is an obedient population. And we look at the, like, women excel right till university. Men and women go to university, they do better on their exams at school and everything. Then we get into the workplace.
Yeah.
And we don't excel the same way. And that's because the patriarchy is trying to keep us hungry and uncomfortable and high heels. So I'm just like, well, I'm not going to play that game anymore. The diet culture in this country and in this society has fucked us all. It really has.
Aye. And do you know what? I love that your daughter's 15 and she's... And that's what I've found, right? So the job that I have or had... And I'm dealing and I am engaging with a lot of young people, right? Mm-hmm. Young, diverse people who have very different experiences than I do. And I think in the media, one of the big things that we recognised was that we were not representative of the communities that we served, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of my job was about outreach, connecting with those young people and showing them that, you know, you can have a voice, you can make a difference. I was blown away at how switched on
those young people were,
right? Mm-hmm. You know, and that to me is brilliant. I love that. You know, mm-hmm. I love that your daughter turns around and goes, do you know what? And she's so right, you know. But I just wish that we had that kind of intelligence to go, hold on a minute, no, this isn't right, you know, because... Mm-hmm. It was I think it's what you're being fed at that time. Being grown up in the 90s, it was like everybody on the telly, all the models, all that kind of thing. And if you did not like conform to that kind of baseline of this is what is good looking, then that was it, you know, and you beat yourself up about it. But actually, we're all different. If it were all the same, it would be a hell of a boring place.
Exactly.
So I'm happy with it. And I'm fit. Do you know what I mean? I go to the gym. I've burst my arse today. I've joined a new class called Blaze. Jesus, right? It's mental. But it's like, it's mental. So it's cardio, strength and combat for 45 minutes constant, right? You've got to be the heart monitor. You've got to do this, right? But bloody hell, I'm holding my own in there, right? But the great thing is they put it on you and you compete with yourself.
Aye.
And that's
all the person we're ever competing with, isn't it, though?
Exactly. So I know I'm fit. You know, I might not look fit, but I'm fit. And I'm like, that's all right. You know, just enjoy it.
Perfect. It's been such a good conversation. I've really enjoyed chatting to you, Kirsty. What's next? Are you feeling excited about the future, given what you now know?
I am, definitely. So, like, my thing at the moment is I'm saying yes to things, right? And I'm saying yes before I'm thinking too much about it. So I'm on my own path, right? And I'm not judging myself by MDLC's standards or MDLC's path. So this whole comedy thing, I went into it thinking, right, I could die in my arse and that's it. I've done it. I've tried it. And I'm going to gigs and I'm getting booked for other gigs. And if MD's coming up and saying to me, do you want to do that? Yes. I don't care. And they're like, but you don't know where it is. Don't care. Yes, I'll do it. Right? And that's the thing. So I'm really excited about what's ahead, because I used to go, let me think about that. And then I talk myself out of it. So before even I'm doing things, like, because like I'm going to be in the Glasgow Comedy Festival, right? Like, for me, I thought, God, that's not going to happen within the next 2-3 years. It's happening within 6 months because I said yes. So that's my thing. I'm excited about saying yes and seeing what happens.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kirsty.
Thanks so much. Great to speak to you.
Hello and thank you for joining me on this episode of What Do You Know For Sure podcast. If you would like to connect with me, you can do that across social media by searching Anne Hughes Ignite. If I refer to my radio show and the podcast, you can catch those on my Mixcloud. Again, just searching Anne Hughes Ignite. And if you or anybody you know want to answer this question with me, please do get in touch. Just go onto my website, annehughesignite.co.uk, and fill in the contact page at the bottom, and I'll be delighted to have this conversation with you too. Thank you.